Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it with all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgannon. You can also message me, friend me, love me on Twitter at GoForAgain. Expected to be true. We're going to talk a bunch of NBA finals today. I know it's a game 7 of the NHL hockey going on right now. But we're going to talk NBA finals today. And we're expected to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rofe. And you may say, yeah, Willie Rofe, he only knows football. No, the man knows a lot of basketball as well. I would not bring him on this air if I didn't think the man knew basketball. But he knows the game of basketball, and he's going to be joining us today. And we're going to talk NBA Finals. And it's going to, and obviously everybody's talking about it. Everybody is talking about the whole situation. I mean, looking back on these NBA Finals before we get into them, let's be clear about something. On this show, on this air, your boy, meaning myself, I picked the Dallas Mavericks to win the NBA Finals in 6. Lo and behold, guess what happened, everybody? Guess what happened? Oh, the Dallas Mavericks won this series in 6 games.
You better steal me.
Yes. I said it before this whole thing started. I said it before this series started that the Dallas Mavericks would win the NBA Finals in 6. And they did it. They won it in 6. And one of my reasons, and I talked about how deep the Dallas Mavericks were, and I think it showed. I think it showed. I think their depth showed in these finals with J.J. Barea, with a Brian Cardinal who came off the bench, the custodian who came off the bench and gave him great minutes. Deshaun Stevenson came off the bench. Actually, initially he was a starter, but J.J. Barea supplanted him in the lineup, and J.J. Barea played some great basketball from that point on. He played some great, great basketball, and he had 15 points in the clinching game. And that's coming off 17 points in a big game 5 against the Miami Heat. So J.J. Barea was key. And I just thought with Dirk Nowitzki was a man who was on a mission. 62 big points in the fourth quarter over these 6 games. That's 10 points. That's an average of 10 points in the fourth quarter. That's getting it done. That's clutch. And that's any other word you want to say. And Dirk Nowitzki, truth be told, probably was the MVP of this whole, he was the MVP of these finals, definitely. He might have been MVP of this season. He really had, and quietly, he was doing his thing. Everybody was talking Derrick Rose, but quietly, Dirk Nowitzki was doing his thing. And Dirk Nowitzki had struggled in that game 6, struggled early on, 1-for-12 in the first half, but he came back in that second half, did what he had to do, and went 8-for-15 the rest of the way, scored 21 big points, and ultimately, it was enough. It was enough. It was enough for the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki to take home the title. Congratulations to the Dallas Mavericks. And I think, unfortunately, because of all LeBron James talk and all the Big Three talk and all the Miami Heat talk, what's kind of getting lost is what the Dallas Mavericks did in this series, what they've done throughout this whole playoff and throughout this whole season, for that matter. This is a Dallas Mavericks team that did it without Caron Butler. They won an extended period of time without Dirk Nowitzki. And somehow, some way, they found a way to get it done. Caron Butler was a big piece. He was a big piece, but they got it done. They still found a way to get it done. And I looked at this series, and I saw game one, and I saw the way the Miami Heat played game one, and I'm saying to myself, this Miami Heat team may be the better ball club. And then I'm watching game two, and I see Miami up 15 with about 7 minutes left in that fourth quarter. And I'm saying to myself, and I actually text Willie Rove, who's going to be joining us. I texted him around that time, and I was saying to myself, wow, this team could win two, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, like LeBron James said back in that big celebration when they first signed. This team could really, really win all these championships because the way they played that particular game and the way that series looked like it was going to go, it looked like the Miami Heat were going to sweep through. And I look at this series in general, the Miami Heat theoretically could have swept this series if not won this series in five. I mean, they dominated. They won game one. They should have won game two. They won game three. They could quite possibly have won game four. Dwayne Wade missed a big free throw that would have tied the ball game late in the game. And they could have won game five as well. I mean, so they could have won all those games. Game six, Dallas Mavericks, that was their game. But you look at it, the Miami Heat could have won this series in five and probably should have won this series in five, if not even four. They could have even swept it. And I just think talent-wise, the Heat may be better. They might have been a better team talent-wise. But in terms of a team, and when it comes down to a team, the Dallas Mavericks, they were a team. They got production from everywhere and everybody. This Sean Stevenson, you know, he had his big moment in this series where he scored 11 points and was 3-for-3 from downtown. You had Deshaun Stevenson doing his thing. Jason Terry, 27 big points in the clincher. 21 big points in game five and hit some big threes down the stretch. J.J. Barea, again, 15 big points in the clinching game. 17 big points in game five. They're getting it. They got it from different places and from different people. Game in, game out. Tyson Chandler, 13-7 in game five, and game four, a big 13-16 ball game. They got it from him. The Matrix, Sean Marion, 12 points in the clinching game, 16 points in game four, and a complete performance in game five, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And, oh, by the way, he did a fairly decent job on the king, LeBron James. They got it from every different part. Every different player, each player contributed and helped the Dallas Mavericks get to this point and get to that parade tomorrow where they can celebrate their first title in franchise history. And if you look at Jason Kidd, game five, 13 big points, 2 boards. He had a big three down the stretch in game five. So they got it from everywhere. Everywhere they got it. They got it, what they needed. And you say, I say, Miami, again, should have won that series. I say Miami probably was one of the more talented talented individuals. But when it comes to the notion of a team, the Dallas Mavericks epitomize a team. They were a team in these NBA finals, and they got it from different parts at different times, and give Rick Carlisle some credit as well. Give him some credit as well. I mean, Rick Carlisle took Peja Stojakovic out of the rotation. Brian Cardinal came in, took Deshaun Stevenson out of the starting lineup. J.J. Barea came in. Two big moves and moves that I question, but when it was all said and done, these moves paid off, and these moves are the big reason that the Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions. Those moves were big reasons why the Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions. Bottom line, point blank. And we can go to LeBron James now, a guy that has been vilified, a guy that's been hammered, a guy whose name has been just ran through the mud at this point. I mean, LeBron, let's be honest, he didn't have a great NBA Finals, averaged 17 points in these finals, was not very clutch in the fourth quarter, averaged only 2 points a game in the fourth quarter. I mean, a guy, when it was money was on the line, he just did not get it done. He shot 25% in the fourth quarter in these NBA Finals. That's down from 45% in the first three rounds. 2.2 points per game in the fourth quarter of the NBA Finals. That's down from 7.6 points per game in the first three rounds. Zero for seven from downtown in the fourth quarter in the NBA Finals. He was 8 for 18 from downtown in the first three rounds. So LeBron James was just not himself in these NBA Finals. And he had that big, that 8-point stinker in game four. Just not a good performance by LeBron James. Some would say it was girl problems, off the court issues, rumors circulating around about that. I don't know. The year before where he looked the same way, that was against Boston in the NBA playoffs. The second round, same thing. People pointed to the whole situation with allegedly Delonte West and that whole situation. And whatever it is, regardless of what it was or what it is, LeBron James, he came up small in these finals. There's really no way of sugarcoating it. There's really no way of getting around it. There's really no way. There's just no way. I can't say it any other way. LeBron James just did not have a good NBA Finals. Is he one of the reasons the Heat lost? I guess so, yes. He is one of the reasons. Dwayne Wade might have been struggling from those hip issues, but he didn't really play well the final two games of this series. Chris Bosh had a fairly decent series, and you almost thought that Chris Bosh got shot the way he fell to the ground there at the end of the game there in the locker room as he was crying and emotional because of what happened in these NBA Finals. I mean, again, and I was thinking to myself, if I had to pick it over when this series started, and watching the first couple of games, I probably would have switched to the Miami Heat. I definitely would have switched to the Miami Heat. But the Dallas Mavericks, Dirk Nowitzki and those boys, they did what championship teams do in those big times. Dirk Nowitzki, like I said it before, 62 big points in the fourth quarter of these NBA Finals, over six games. That's an average of 10 points a game. That's money in the fourth quarter. That is money. That's big time. That flat out is getting it done. And a lot of people criticize LeBron James for that whole coffin bit, him and Dwayne Wade making fun of Dirk Nowitzki. And I say to that, I mean, you know what? They're just having a fun. Don't take sometimes people take things too seriously. Again, these guys just having fun. And it's not like Dirk Nowitzki had cancer or was dying of something. He had a sinus infection, an everyday sinus infection, an everyday fever. So it's not like he was suffering from anything serious. So my thing to that is, I mean, don't take yourself too serious. Dirk Nowitzki called it ignorant, called it childish, whatever else he wanted to call it. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's just guys laughing, having fun, having a good time. Don't read too much into what you saw there with that. And it's just not that serious, just not that big of a deal. It really is not that big of a deal. And I just, I mean, sometimes we just take ourselves and take situations too seriously. We really do. And that was a situation, I think, where we're taking ourselves and taking situations too seriously. I really do. I mean, come on. Come on. It was not that serious. It really was not that serious. It really wasn't. But we go to LeBron James, and you look at LeBron James. The moment that he made that decision, the moment that he went on national television and told the world that he's taking his extraordinary talents to South Beach. He didn't say extraordinary. I added that. He said he's taking his talents to South Beach. That was the moment the bullseye was on LeBron James's back, LeBron James's chest, and everywhere else. LeBron James, the moment he made that decision, became public enemy number one. He became public enemy number one. And he was a very lovable guy throughout his career and most of his career. Everybody loved LeBron James. But once he made that decision, once he decided that he's taking his talents to South Beach, at that point, he became public enemy number one. And in a lot of ways, it's unfair. A lot of ways, it's unfair. Because if you look at it, he was a free agent at the time. He is entitled to do whatever he wants to do. He was an unrestricted free agent, so he's entitled to go anywhere he wants to go. That's his prerogative. He's entitled to do that. He is entitled to do that. But I don't think – obviously the decision was a bad mistake. It was a mistake to go on national TV and break the hearts of every fan in Cleveland. Obviously, that was a bad, bad decision by LeBron James. But he hasn't broke. He didn't break the law. He didn't do anything illegal. What he did was it was collectively bargained. And what he did was what he felt he needed to do, and that was take his talents to South Beach. But once that happened, I don't think he truly was prepared for the backlash that came his way. Let's bring in now 11-time Pro Bowler, the great Willie Rowe. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing today? No. Since I got to come in while y'all are doing this. Hey, it wouldn't have happened regardless of the situation. Anyway, he would have left Cleveland, he would have been the villain anyway. And let's not forget, when he did that show, and I understand people got mad he did the decision. Part of the reason he did the show is because all the stuff went to the boys' club or the girls' club. So, you know, he made money. He was doing a good deed. And LeBron James has been nothing but a stand-up guy. You know, you never hear about the guy getting in any trouble. You know, for the most part, I think he's at home with his family and his kids. So, I mean, I don't understand. This kid has done nothing but live up to the expectation more than what he's done. He's just not worn a ring. And I will say this. I didn't think Paul was right. I didn't think they were going to beat Dallas in the finals, but I wanted them to win. But they're going to get more pieces around that team. But for people to say other than him, it didn't matter about the decision either way it went. People would still be mad.
People would have been mad, but I mean, I thought it was similar to like breaking up with your wife on national TV. You know what I mean? I mean, regardless if you break up your wife, she's still going to be mad at you. But if you do it on national TV, she's going to even be more mad at you.
Okay,
you know
how long
is
going to be mad? How long is the wife going to be mad? Yeah, they've been broke up for a year now. I mean, how long are you going to be mad now? You know, he's been gone for a year.
Cleveland does need to move on at this point. I mean, Dan Gilbert does need to move on at this point. I mean, enough is enough. I mean, you're not getting him back, so it doesn't even matter. And he's not playing for you anyway. But I looked at this series ultimately. I picked the Mavs to win it in six, and they won it in six. But I look at it, and I say to myself, the Miami Heat could have easily swept this series, if not even won it in five. With all that being said, did the best team win this series?
I think it was only a matter of time before the Mavs' offense got going. And I just think that the Heat did the same thing they did. Against Eastern Conference teams, they played defense in spurts, and they shut teams down in the fourth quarter. Well, against the Mavs, they went on a couple spurts and got leads late in the game, but they couldn't keep them, and they couldn't keep the lead. And when I think coaching played a big role in this series also. You know, if you watch the fourth quarter of that game, the last game, or the game in Dallas, LeBron James is playing point guard, giving the ball up. getting to Dwayne Wade, going to the other side of the court. It's nobody moving. It's like this, they run a two-guard set at the top, or they run a set where they bring LeBron, brings the ball up, and gives it to Dwayne Wade, and just goes to the other side of the court. You can do that for a couple games. You got to change it up. And when he put Barrera in the starting lineup, it just made an offense click, and they started making those threes. And I didn't think Dallas would shoot that well when they came to Miami in game six, but they kept firing the ball. And I mean, you know, I think the more experienced team won. I think if you watch Dirk Nowitzki on PTI, it's a difference between the Dirk Nowitzki now and the Dirk Nowitzki that was in the finals in 2006. And I'm going to tell you guys something. There's a difference between a guy that's been a perennial all-pro at the 13-year vet and a 7-year vet. LeBron James still has doubts in his mind about finishing stuff and stuff. And Dirk talked about the experience factor, being there, done that, now living for that moment. It takes time to develop that instinct and to expect it and deal with that on a day in, day out, and be ready for that moment and it not bother you. And I don't think LeBron's at that point yet.
And everybody's talking about LeBron James's legacy, and I say, you know, you can't talk about somebody's legacy after 7 years. Let's talk legacy when this whole thing is all said and done. But is it fair, some of the criticism being levied at LeBron James?
I think some of the criticism is fair because of the expectations that he has and as well as he played. I mean, LeBron James played as good a basketball as you can play in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Dwayne Wade did not play as good in that Finals, okay, the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And I say this, Jeremy. I say there are going to be series when they do get to the Finals, just like when the Bulls kept getting to the Finals, if they're lucky enough to go to multiple series, where Dwayne Wade's going to be the guy that can be the closer or do more of the scoring, and it's going to where matchups favor him. And there are going to be series in the future where LeBron James is going to be able to do more stuff against a certain team. But the problem is you got to find a way, like during the year when he would take one guy out and leave one guy in, and then he would let the other guy do more work. You got to be able to make both guys efficient late in games and not just have one guy or the other guy doing all the work. If one guy's hot, though, I understand he's got to get the ball. But you got to learn how to utilize both guys together. And I think that's where late in the game, especially against Dallas, they didn't do that.
And I look, everybody for points at LeBron James. I mean, let's be honest, he didn't play well in the fourth quarter, only averaged 2 points in the fourth quarter. But those finals, those last two games, Dwayne Wade really didn't play all that great himself, and part of that could have been injuries. But when it's all said and done, should LeBron James be to blame for what happened, and should he be the reason why the Miami Heat did not win this series?
No, he's not. I think the reason they didn't win the series because Dallas got hot and they just had an unbelievable shooting game. Hey, when they started making those rainbow three-pointers in game five and made all those threes and was shooting like that, it's not a lot you can do with them. But, you know, Miami contained them, and I knew that it's just like AFC-NFC football used to be. NFC was more smash-mouth. AFC was more aired out. Well, when you play those Western Conference teams, they're going to score a lot of points. When they played Boston didn't have a lot of guys that could score, and then Ray Allen and those guys are older, so they couldn't do it consistently. And then they played Chicago, and all the pressure was on Derrick Rose. Well, then you go play the Dallas Mavericks, you're playing a team that can score a lot of points, and they got a lot of guys that can shoot the ball. So you can't slow that team down in a seven-game series, and that's where I think it caught up with them over the course of the seven-game series. Dallas got going with more guys other than Dirk, because you remember in game one, Miami bench outscored Dallas bench game one, and Barrera and those guys
right.
Couldn't make anything. So I think that's what caught up with them, the law of nutrition, and I think the defense let them down. I also have a feeling that during the year those guys practiced hard. You know, I know P.J. Brown well, and he used to tell me about how Pat Riley and them made them practice during the course of the year. And I think they played a lot of basketball, so it's going to be interesting to see how they go in the next year at training camp, where LeBron James is going all crazy at training camp, and then the preseason came out doing all that running up and down the court. LeBron James doesn't understand. He's getting up there a little bit. You got to manage your body at this point. So even I don't care if he's going into year 8. He's played a lot of basketball. He played in the playoffs a lot. You got to pace yourself so when it comes playoff time, June, you got some energy and you got some legs. And it looked like Dallas had more energy and played with more intensity those last couple games than the Miami Heat he played with. Now, I don't know if that's because of training camp and the way they managed themselves during the season, because they are an older team. A lot of those guys have been in the league 11 years. So I think that they were fresher. It looked to me like they were fresher those last couple games, too. Would you agree with that?
And I think that may come down to the depth that the Dallas Mavericks have. I mean, like we said, J.J. Barea, big-time player in these finals, Deshaun Stevenson, a big-time player, of course, Jason Terry, and even Brian Cardinal came off the bench and gave these guys a spark. So I thought going into the series, Dallas was the deeper team, but I think the difference truly was Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki refused to let his Mavericks team lose in that fourth quarter, and the statistics show it. He averaged 10 points in the fourth quarter, so I thought Dirk, along with the depth, was the big thing that put the Dallas Mavericks over the top.
I would agree with you there, and I think the experience that Dirk has, being in the league 13 years and still, and Dirk has a few more years, and Dirk doesn't play above the rim, but what he does, he utilizes his skill set. He can post you up now. He can go here with his back. He can go to the line. He can make all his free throws. He's got the jump shot. He's got the mid-range game, which they say LeBron needs to work on. I just think Dirk is way more experienced than those two younger players, and I think that Dirk has been through more ups and downs than LeBron James. LeBron James is more scrutinized at this point because of who he is and the way he did things. And he's King James, you know, the way he came into the league. But I think the experience of a perennial all-star, 10-year all-star that's been in the league 13 years, he's got more under his belt than they do. And that's what he talked about on PTI. Talked about the same thing that I understand, being in the league and going through every different challenge you've been through, and then getting to the point where you say, forget it, I like the moment. I want a chance to be in this moment, to be when the game's on the line, even though he was 1-for-12 in the first half, he scored 10 points, in the fourth quarter or whatever, and took over the game and did the scoring late. So he understood the stage. He understood the moment now, which it took time to develop that skill.
And he didn't have it back in 2006, and that's partly the reason Dallas Mavericks didn't win back in 2006. And you look at LeBron, Willie, I mean, you've been around, you're an athlete, you were an athlete for many years, you've been around a lot of great players. Did LeBron look nervous to you?
He didn't look like he was sure of himself. He didn't look like a player that was in control, that was, look, I've been waiting on this stage, and I'm on this stage, and it's time for me to take my game to another level. In the finals, he didn't. In the Eastern Conference Finals, he did. In the series against Boston, late in those series against Boston and Chicago, because that's a team he's familiar with, and he knows,
right.
and they play him a lot. You see what I mean? They play each other a lot. He did. But against the Dallas Mavericks, he did. And Dwayne Wade, I mean, at the end, it didn't look like he was either. So against the Eastern Conference foes, they look good. LeBron looked great, but in the finals, no, he did not look like he was confident in ready to close out games like he did in the previous couple series.
We're talking to 11-time Pro Bowler, the great Willie Rolfe, and Willie. A lot of people talk about LeBron James. Skip Bayless talks about LeBron James not having that clutch gene. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree. I don't agree with that. I agree that he needs to work on developing that. I mean, you've got to look at the fact. Yeah, he's been in the league 7 years, right? He didn't go to college. Michael Jordan made a shot in college that won the championship, his rookie year in college, and where he went on to play
right.
Two more years. So this would have been Michael Jordan's fourth year in the league, 84, 85, 86, 87, 87, 88. So, you know, LeBron has been in the league 7 years, but, you know, he's grown up in the NBA too. So I think he's going to have to develop that instinct, and I think he has to develop more of a some player that you're right that it's naturally there, more of a killer instinct. But you know, like you said, in the finals a couple years ago against San Antonio, Tim Parker just took that team to school in Cleveland, and
right.
they got swept. But You're right. I mean, he's got – hopefully he can develop a killer instinct. Hopefully, you know, he can mature into that. I remember when Kobe Bryant was taking big shots and not making them, but at least he was taking them when he was a young kid for the Lakers way back in the day. You know, he still wanted to take the shot. So Kobe always had that attitude. He can make the shot. But he had a whole bunch – when they won those rings when he was young in L.A., he had a whole bunch of veterans playing with him. So
right.
I think they need to get some players in there to help LeBron and so a big man, and they need a point guard. And I think that'll help them. But hopefully he can develop that killer instinct in the finals. He's got to develop it, or it's a team that's favorable to him taking over late in the game in the finals. But so I think it's going to be this flip flop. I think sometimes Dwayne Wade is going to be MVP of a championship, and I think sometimes LeBron's going to be MVP of a championship in the future. I hope so.
You talked about Jordan. You talked about Kobe. Both of those guys with killer mentalities. Is that something you're born with, or is that something you can develop, or you're just born with it?
I think you're born. Some guys are born with it, and they utilize it. I think some guys learn it, you know, over years because you're gonna have to become that player that gets to a point where you're expected to make the big shots and do it. Carmelo's made a bunch of game winners, in fourth quarter games also. But you know, it's one thing to be on the stage in the regular season, in the playoffs, and then another thing to be on the stage in the finals. I mean, everybody's watching you. You're the main attraction. You're the end of the season. It's a big stage, and that's where your legacy's made. So I think that Kobe developed his over time, and I think that Jordan, Jordan had his battles with the Detroit Pistons all those years. Those couple years and him in New York going at it. So Jordan took his bumps and bruises, you know, with the Boston Celtics when he was younger. So by the time he got to the finals, I mean, he was hungry for it. And I think LeBron and them kind of expected to go there this year, and then they got there, and I don't know what happened, but you know, I think the better team, like you said, won the championship. And I kind of saw it happening, but the problem I have with it is when you get leads like they had in some of those games, they just gave them up late in the game.
So, I looked at it, and I initially picked the Mavericks in six, but after watching the series, after watching game one, and even after watching game two, and I saw the Heat up 15, I'm thinking to myself, wow, maybe LeBron was right. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. I mean, they were running through the Dallas Mavericks, and I thought when they were up 15 in game two, I thought, wow, this team is going to win this series, and they may win this series pretty easily.
Well, I did too. I agree with you. I thought that they would be able to maintain the leads better than they did. But see, it's a different team. If they were playing against Chicago or Boston, I think the whole game would have been different. But when they played against Dallas and with the shooters they got and with the closer they have in Dirk Nowitzki, it's a different ball game. And that's what that's what they had to learn. This is a different game, and we got to play our A game. LeBron James did not play his A game in that series, not near it. And the problem with it is, it wasn't him not playing his A game for one game, like Dwayne Wade the last game, maybe the last two games. LeBron James didn't really bring his A game, I don't know what the problem was for the most of the whole series.
Right. Definitely. I mean, he only averaged 17 points in the series. He just wasn't the same player for whatever reason. I mean, his fourth quarter numbers were down. I mean, he was averaging 7 points a game in the fourth quarter. In the first three rounds, we go to the NBA Finals, only 2 points a game in the fourth quarter. So for whatever reason, something just wasn't right. And we talked about, I mean, Scottie Pippen said it, LeBron could possibly be better than Jordan when it's all said and done. Ability-wise, I think you could make a sound argument that may be the case. I mean, LeBron is a better player than Jordan. And many people forget that LeBron did average over 30 points two times in his career and has a career average of 27 points per game. But at the end of the day, we can compare him to Magic because of his passing ability. We can compare him to Michael because of his scoring ability. And we could compare him to Scottie Pippen, as Steve Kerr said. I mean, he believes that LeBron is more Scottie Pippen than anything else. If we compare LeBron, who would you say LeBron James is? Is he more Michael, more Magic, or more Pippen?
No, I think he's, Michael was more of a pure scorer. I would say he leans more toward a facility. He's more of a Magic and Scottie guy, but he can score more efficiently than they can. I mean, Scottie Pippen could go in games and light it up too now. Scottie Pippen was a good, was an outstanding offensive player also. But I think LeBron's overall game as far as passing, assisting, rebounding, you know, he leans to me more toward Pippen, you know, because he can handle, you know, he held the ball and can pass and do and rebound and stuff. But I mean, in the fourth quarter, when you got him playing point guard and he's dribbling up the court, giving it to Dwayne Wade, going out of the way, I mean, you got to get him involved. And I don't think Spoelstra did a good job of keeping the guy involved late in the game. You got to put the ball in his hands, too. And it seemed like they just wanted to get the ball to Dwayne Wade. Well, then the team was just keying on Dwayne Wade. And they were just clearing out the side. I mean, there was nobody running around, no ball movement. They were just coming down court giving the ball to Dwayne Wade. And I didn't understand what they were doing. I mean, Dallas has 8 assistant coaches, so they got guys that are breaking down film and giving it to the players, and you can't keep doing that every game.
Well, whose team is it? Is it LeBron's team? Is it Dwayne Wade's team? Because I saw the first 3 rounds. I would say it was LeBron James' team in his playoffs. A lot of people forget that LeBron James was the best player for the Miami Heat those first 3 rounds.
Well, he was, by far. I say it's both of their teams, and I say that they both got to carry the load. I say that it's LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's team, and right now, by who's taking all the criticism, I would say it's LeBron James' team because Dwayne Wade ain't taking near the criticism that LeBron James is taking. So I say it's both their teams. And, you know, they got to get – LeBron James said he got to work on his basketball this summer, and LeBron James has got to work on his mentality. And it's going to be a tougher road to get there. I mean, Chicago's going to get better. The Knicks are going to get better. We don't know what's going to happen with Orlando. But, I don't agree with him. I think they need to sign Tyson Chandler back. But they got Caron Butler coming back off knee surgery. And yeah. I don't know how many of those guys are locked up with Dallas, but I think Dallas is going to be right there next year. I think they're going to be tough. Dirk, they're talking about Dirk's only shot. Dirk didn't look like he's slowing down to me in that playoffs. Looked like he was playing pretty daggone good.
And you talked about Caron Butler. A lot of people forget about Caron Butler. Caron Butler is a very good small forward. He's a solid defender. And a lot of people forget about what he brought to the table for the Dallas Mavericks. A lot of people forget about him. But
well,
like you said, he will be back next
player.
Year. Yeah, he's a very good basketball player, and people tend to forget about that. When you look at this team, Willie, this Heat team, a lot of people, they came together. A lot of people thought they would win championships. Not too many people picked them right away to win it this year. I didn't think necessarily they would win it this year. And a lot of people really didn't expect them to get to this point, meaning the NBA Finals. But when it's all said and done, will LeBron James and his Miami Heat eventually win an NBA title?
Yes, I think they'll win more than one NBA title. I think they'll win several NBA titles if they get the right pieces. And let's think. Look at it right now. Other than LeBron James, Dwayne with the big three, other than that, the long term contracts were Udonis and Mike Miller. They both were injured this year. Both of those guys did not play a lot of basketball at all for the team this year. Okay. Other than that, on that lineup, all those guys was other than Chalmers. All those guys were one-year pickups. They picked up Bibby late. They picked up Bibby right before the playoffs. They signed Juwan Howard, one-year deal. They signed. They picked up the big center Dampier late in the year. I mean, James Jones was a one-year deal. Jamal McGlure was a one-year deal. I mean, all these guys were just picked up pieces. They just picked up. I mean, and then you had they were just role players. So that tells you how good those guys. And the big three had to do a whole lot of work this year, during the course of this season. And that workload might have caught up with them. And LeBron, let's look at it. When LeBron James was playing 44 minutes, he wasn't even getting a break in the second half of the games. I mean, he wasn't even getting a break. So I mean, they did that with just pieces that they threw together. and then guys that got released, Bibby and Dampier. Because Miller and Haslam were pretty much weren't even there all year. So I mean, right. For them to get to the finals and really not having a lineup that was consistent all year because guys were in and out of the rotation or, you know, hurt. I mean, shit, they did a lot. I mean, but a lot of that came from the big three. So like I said, with them getting some solid role players and then getting a couple guys that are going to be there with them for a couple years and they get some chemistry with them, it's going to be a different ball club.
And I agree with you. And I think in terms of the point guards, I like Mario Chalmers. I think Chalmers is okay. I think you're going to need somebody to back him up, maybe a veteran. And imagine if they would have signed Derek Fisher. Imagine if Derek Fisher would have came to the Miami Heat. Do you think that would have made a difference?
I think the experience would have made a difference, but I don't know. In the finals against Dallas, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. Derek can't run like he used to. He can't guard some of those guys. He couldn't guard Barrett. Right. He couldn't guard him when he's with the Lakers. Nobody could guard him. They could knock him on the ground. They couldn't guard him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Willie, Dwight Howard, he has said that, you know what, he's going to go through the season and explore his options in free agency. Jeff Van Gundy alluded to possibly maybe breaking this big three up. If you're the Miami Heat, do you make a play for Dwight Howard? Do you try to put together some pieces to get Dwight Howard?
You're going to have to give up Bosh. If you're going to keep LeBron James in West Carolina, you're going to have to give up Bosh and one of the role players. I mean, if you could get Dwight Howard, maybe you give up. Because, I mean, the only difference that I like about Bosh is Bosh can stand out there and hit the jump shot better than Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard worked on his game and can hit a bank shot, but he can't shoot a jump shot like Bosh, and it frees up them penetrating to the hole. So I don't know how that worked with them because they like going to the goal a lot, and Dwight Howard's more of an underneath post-up center where he's going to stop some of that penetration with LeBron and Dwayne. So I don't know how that puzzle fits. I think you keep Bosh. Well, what he does for them, I think they need a big guy down low like Tyson Chandler, which they try to get Anthony to do. He's a little undersized that can block shots and rebound and get some dirty boy points like a Noah or a Chandler. They need a guy like that.
And one of those guys out there could be a Sam Dallenberg, who's a free agent this year.
Sam
Dallenberg,
you're right.
He's kind of in that Tyson Chandler type of mode that – Joel Anthony type of mold. He's one of those type of guys. And you talked about, I will say this. I mean, granted, if you look at it, would you part with LeBron James to get Dwight Howard? And I ask this for this reason. Back in 2006, when the Miami Heat won the NBA title, you had a similar formula with Shaq and Dwayne Wade. You would have that same type of formula with Dwight Howard and Dwayne Wade. Would you part with LeBron James to get Dwight Howard?
What about Bosh? You going to have Bosh and Dwight Howard and Dwayne Wade?
I mean, I think LeBron James would be enough to get Dwight Howard, straight up.
I wouldn't part ways with LeBron James. No.
I don't think I would either.
First of all, for one, he had the number one selling jersey for marketing. With the team, you can't part ways with LeBron James. I just no. You keep your big three. You pick up you keep the big three together. You pick up some more role players. Like you said, I like Dallenberg. He can go down there, block shots. He's a hustle guy. He plays tough. We was with Philadelphia. Was he in Sacramento last year?
He was in Sacramento last year.
He was in Sacramento last year. I watched him play some. Dallenberg will be an excellent role player and does what I'm talking about. And he's longer than Anthony. He's bigger. He's longer than Anthony is.
Right. Definitely. He's a better defender than Joel Anthony. He's more – I mean, Sam Dallenberg is not the most polished offensive player, but he has more offensive skills than Joel Anthony. It would be an upgrade. It definitely would be an upgrade.
It would be. I agree with you. But I like Anthony.
And
But Donovan, Dan Perry and Juwan Howard won't be there next year, probably.
No. That might be a good thing. Ilgauskas probably will be going as well. And looking at this whole thing, LeBron, he made his comments at the end, saying pretty much people will still have their personal problems. Everybody will still have their issues after this whole situation. I kind of think he's being unfairly criticized for everything, for this whole thing in a lot of ways. I mean, he was peppered with questions at the time, just came off a tough loss. But at the end of the day, it is your job to talk to the media. But overall, all in all, is LeBron James just getting a bad rap by everybody?
He was pissed off at LeBron in a way, you know. LeBron James has issues too, but it's a little easier to deal with your issues when you're making $30 million plus a year. So, I mean, he's getting all the blame is on LeBron James. I think it didn't matter how he left Cleveland. I think it's still, you know, LeBron James, when he was in Cleveland, the last series, you know, he checked out. So, you know, the people in Cleveland get mad when he left, but then they talked about he checked out in the last series against Boston. Well, you know, he wanted to make a change and go to a different situation. And let's be realistic. He wasn't finna attract a whole bunch of free agents. If they can get similar money, where they going to go? To Cleveland, or they going to go to South Beach or the Lakers,
right,
or, you know, Orlando? He's not going to attract guys to come play with him in Cleveland. So I think what he did was a business move, and I think if you've been to Miami, that's not for a young guy that wants to hang out sometime. That's not a bad place to be spending your time in the off season either. So, you know, I mean, I think the young guy made the right decision for him. And I think he is taking a bad rap. You know, I went down there to a couple games, and, you know, I'm a big LeBron fan, and I went and saw him play his first year or two in Cleveland. So, you know, I made a couple trips up to Cleveland to watch those guys play when they played the Lakers a couple years ago and won't beat them in the regular season. And went up there his first year, right after he was on the first year or two, when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, when they had, like, arrows going through him. So, you know, I think he's a marked man, and I think if he got a couple titles, I think that would go off his back, just like with Shaquille O'Neal before he won the ring.
Right.
Everybody said he was more worried about rap music and movies and this and that. After he won a few rings, Shaquille's the greatest ambassador to the NBA and a great guy. Before that, he was a villain when he left Orlando and hadn't won a ring.
Right. Now, Willie, I mean, there have been rumors LeBron James, there were some issues possibly with his girlfriend. There's some rumors about that, you know. I don't know how true it is, but they're rumors.
You're
a professional athlete, Willie. You've been through the ringers. You played a long time in the NFL. Has any off-the-field stuff affected your play on the field?
Well, I won't say it. You know, I won't say it affected me per se on the field. You know, I had a situation I was dealing with my last year in New Orleans. On top of my knee, I was dealing with a bad knee. You know, a torn ACL that I was trying to play with. Also, so you know, it will affect you if it's impacting you during the year. Now, I don't know if LeBron James is dealing with issues with his girlfriend or his mother down there. But I know he has a lot of family and people. I heard his dad is down there now. His real father's down in Miami now also. And people talk. So, you know, I just think LeBron James, you know, needs to try to keep his personal life personal. But as far as his family is concerned, he doesn't need them down there getting in stuff in down in Miami, getting in incidents and situations that he's got to cover their butt on. He doesn't need to deal with that now. So, you know, whatever he can do to distance himself from those type of situations will probably be better. But, you know, it did affect me my last year in New Orleans on top of my surgery. And, you know, I needed a fresh start. And I went to Kansas City and made sure that when I got to Kansas City, I wasn't going to have any more distractions that were that big, anything to that size, until I was retired from football. I wasn't gonna let anything like that personal interfere with me playing football anymore.
But how would you do something like that? How would you make that happen? How would you ensure that none of these things would happen, none of these personal things?
Well, with a girlfriend, because I was with I had just tried to get married to two of my kids' mother in New Orleans at the time, and I don't think that was the right decision, and I think I knew that wasn't the right decision when I tried to get married, and it came back during the season to bite me in the butt, if you want to say somewhat. And you know, when I went to Kansas City, I wasn't married anymore, and I did live with another girl in Kansas. But I made sure the football, for the most part, during my career, football was my. I was married to sports, to the sport, so I didn't let stuff interfere with it. You know, when I was younger in my career, I was partying a little too much around '97 when I had a bad year, and I cleaned that up and made sure I was taking better care of myself. And then with the distraction with a woman, I went through a little bit of that my last year in New Orleans, and I made sure that I wasn't getting too serious about some woman or wasn't planning on it till my football career was over. So that was pretty much it.
So if it
becomes a problem with the woman had to go. It was if it's gonna be the woman or is it gonna be me feeding my kids? Well, it's gonna be the woman that I'm gonna let go before I let that mess up what I'm doing on the football field.
And it sounds like you're saying basically LeBron James needs to be married to the game of basketball.
Pretty much. Michael Jordan was married to his wife in a literal sense, that was for a show. I was nothing against Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan was married to the sport of basketball. And when Michael Jordan was making movies, when he decided to come back that one year in the middle of the season, and then they got beat by Indiana, and he looked kind of bad in the playoffs, he went and made that movie in L.A., whatever that Space Jam movie was. He had a basketball thing right beside it and was playing basketball all the time. Michael Jordan was married to basketball, and he didn't want to leave basketball because he came back after he left Chicago, and they kind of wanted him to get out of Chicago because they were tired of paying him, and they knew it was almost to the end of the road. But when Michael Jordan was a pro basketball player, he was married to the sport.
And we'll leave it here. One final question. A lot of people are saying this is the greatest NBA playoff ever. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. But in your opinion, was this the greatest NBA playoff ever?
I don't know if I agree with that either. I think it was an excellent playoff. It was great for the NBA. I hope they can get a labor deal worked out because they need to. They have a very good product on the court right now. I wouldn't say it's the best. I mean, the finals was great. I mean, the other than those couple games, when Dallas finally took over, I mean, those games went down to a point, you know, for the games. It was the closest scoring finals in 14 years. So I guess that would have been since the Bulls and the Utah Jazz in one of those years. So I think it was a great finals. I wouldn't say it was. I mean, a great playoffs. I wouldn't say it was the best one, but it was excellent basketball.
Willie, as always, greatly appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time, man, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck, sir.
I wish you the best, too, man. It's great talking to you, and hopefully we'll have this football deal, this labor deal worked out in the next month, and we'll get back to training camp, getting ready for training camp.
And we'll be able to talk some football. I mean, I am that labor stuff, that's just...
I saw DeSean Jackson last night, and hanging out a little bit with Jones Drew and some of his boys. Saw y'all Philadelphia Eagle receiver last night. Looked like a nice fellow.
Make sure you wish you nothing but the best of luck.
All right.
All right, take care, Willie.
All right.
The great Willie Rolfe, former NFL star. And, you know, you say Willie's a football player. No, Willie knows the game of basketball. I wouldn't have brought him on this air if I didn't think he knew the game of basketball. Willie Rolfe knows the game of basketball. And if you sit there and listen, you'll see and hear that Willie Rolfe knows the game of basketball very, very well. I mean, Willie and I were going back and forth with text messages throughout this whole NBA Finals. I told Willie from the jump that the Dallas Mavericks were winning this thing in six. Obviously, he didn't believe me. Or he didn't agree with me. I guess he didn't believe me. But I told him from the jump, and I told all of you from the jump, that the Miami Heat would lose in these NBA Finals and that the Dallas Mavericks would win this whole thing in six. By golly, I was right. I'm the man. You're not. I know it all. You don't. I'm great. You're not. Don't get mad at me like you got mad at LeBron James for basically saying the same thing. Oh, you guys still will have the personal problems that you'll have after all this. Everybody will still have their personal problems. Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. We're in the third period now. End of the, it's intermission, end of the second period. And guess what? The Boston Bruins are up 3-0. Looks like the Boston Bruins are on their way to winning the Stanley Cup Finals and bringing the cup to Boston. Again, end of the second period, going into the third period. The Boston Bruins are in control, and they're up 3-0 in that ball game. It's about that time, everybody. It's about that time. It's about that time. Each and every week, somebody's got to be dumb. Somebody's got to be stupid. And guess what? I have to pick somebody. And this is going to be a painful one, but I got to do it. Dallas Mavericks shooting guard Deshaun Stevenson was arrested for public intoxication Tuesday night in Irving, Texas. This is after 2 days after winning the NBA championship. Deshaun, come on, he was released. He was released, and he's saying pretty much that the characterization that the police, basically what the police said about it was not true. I guess it was a little exaggerated, if you will. Was not true, and it was blown out of proportion. But Deshaun Stevenson, my friend, my buddy, my pal, my man, you just won the NBA championship. You just won the NBA championship. And in winning the NBA championship, guess what? Everybody in Dallas knows who you are. They know who you are. They know the tattoo on the face. They know the little mohawk. They know who you are. And you're walking around Dallas, Texas, Irving, Texas, drunk as a skunk, as they like to say. You were drunk as a skunk, allegedly, allegedly. You haven't been convicted of anything, but allegedly you were drunk as a skunk. And guess what? Come on, Deshaun. I know you just won a championship, so I know you want to drink to that. I know you want to drink to that. But my goodness, you can't be walking around Irving, Texas all drunked up. I mean, everybody's going to recognize who you are. You're Deshaun Stevenson. You're part of the World Champion Dallas Mavericks team. Deshaun Stevenson, that's not smart. That's not intelligent. That's not wise. That's not sagacious. That is plain old, flat-out dumb, asinine, ridiculous. My friend, that is stupid. Deshaun Stevenson, for being drunk in public, and being arrested for public intoxication. And again, he hasn't been convicted of anything. It's just an arrest. But to even be put in that position, Deshaun Stevenson, you stupid. And that's my nomination this week. Deshaun Stevenson, you stupid. And Deshaun Stevenson will be stupid one this week. We want to thank the great Willie Rowe from stopping by. Greatly appreciated, as always. And also, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Go4Gain. And make sure you listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgain. We've got a lot of great things set up this weekend, as we'll be back here Saturday at 1 o'clock. Expected to be joined by Indianapolis Colts safety Ken Hamlin, who will stop on by and definitely talk some football with him, talk about the lockout. He had a charity event in Miami last weekend, so we'll talk about that as well. So it should be interesting to talk about that and talk to Ken Hamlin, as he will be joining us on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Make sure you check your local listings, and your local listings is blogtalkradio.com/pgain. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you listen, and make sure you follow this show on Twitter at Go4Gain, because as always, the show, we do a good job here. We have a lot of fun, and we talk sports, and we have fun doing it. Also, if you're a fan of Well Wars, Matt Smith, one of the members of Well Wars, will be here on Saturday as well. So, again, we want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by. And, again, you can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. For everybody here at Go For It, see you later. Take care. Bye.